Hello and welcome to this reflection from Stratton Vale Baptist Church. As we come to the end of January, we come to the end of our mini-series looking at how to live life changed in this new year. This week we consider how we can make a difference with our gifts, the gifts that God has so generously blessed us with. We have all been blessed with gifts, talents, skills, abilities that God calls us to use for the sake of his kingdom. In a year's time, do you want to be able to look back at this year and see how you have made a difference in the world? Do you want to be able to recognise how, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have impacted the places you go, where you live, who you meet? God wants to work through you to bless others around you. How might God be calling you to live using the gifts he has given for the sake of others? So let's read from 1 Peter 4:7-11. The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. Peter reminds us of the truth that we all do have gifts. In verse 10, he says to his readers, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of us are to use whatever gift we have. Peter is making it plain that God has gifted all his people with gifts that can be and should be used to glorify him and to advance the coming of the kingdom of God. When we think about using our God-given gifts, our minds often immediately turn to what is referred to as spiritual gifts, which tend to be classified and limited to the lists of gifts we find in various places in the New Testament, such as in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12-14, and Ephesians 4. And I encourage you to look back at those passages in your own time. These lists are great for helping us to think about the gifts God gives us, but they're not an exhaustive list. God doesn't just give those gifts and stop there, not giving any other skills, talents, or passions that we might have. No, instead, God gives us so much. James 1 reminds us every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. So as we reflect upon the topic of making a difference with our gifts, using the gifts God has given to you for others, I want to encourage us to think about gifts in a broad sense, not limiting our thinking to any prescribed lists, but giving God credit for every gift in your life and allowing him to use them to serve others. We need to learn to recognise that every one of our life experiences makes us unique and gives us the ability to be used by God in a way that is distinctive to us. I don't know whether you've ever had a thought that goes something along these lines. I am able to do that particular thing, and I quite like doing it, but I know that so-and-so could also do it, and I'm sure they do it much better than me, so I'm not going to try because, well, I won't be able to do it as well as someone else. These are the thoughts that Satan whispers into our ears, trying to undermine our confidence not only in ourselves, but also in God's ability to use us for his purposes. The different experiences, skills, talents, knowledge, etc., that you've picked up throughout life may seem unconnected or even irrelevant if looked at through human eyes. but they are all valuable tools to be used by God for his plans. But we need to use our gifts in God's strength according to his will. God has blessed us with gifts more than we can count, and he empowers us to use them to the best effect. But we must be prepared to surrender ourselves to God and allow them to be used. So often we try to struggle through life by our own strength, and then we are surprised when we find ourselves exhausted and unable to cope. But God loves to offer us his strength, and he showers us with gifts to enable us to work in his name. But to do this, we need to be attentive to him. Peter reminds his readers, "The end of all things is near, therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray." Peter was alert and on the lookout for opportunities to use the gifts God had given him in the way God was calling him. Peter called his readers to be alert, to pay attention to the world around you, and especially to pay attention to what God is saying to you. Take notice of the movement of the Holy Spirit. Be guided by him to use your gifts and talents. Have a sober mind, he says. Fix your mind on God. Be steadfast in your pursuit of him. And do not be distracted away from what he says to you. And we need to do all of this so that we can pray. If we are to use God's gift correctly, we need to be in constant communication with him, hearing from him what we should do. Prayer is so important for our world, and yet often its power is minimized. I sometimes find myself saying, "I wish there was something more I could do than just pray." But actually, that statement devalues the enormous power and importance of prayer. Prayer can change the world. Are we choosing to give time to listen to God and hear from him? Peter lived his life with the strong belief that Jesus would soon return and bring both judgment and restoration. The end of all things is near. It seems like quite a dramatic statement and probably conjures up all kinds of images of doom and gloom. But it is also a key part of our faith, knowing that God will come to judge and restore the world to himself, to bring his grace and justice to the world. As the song says, it's the end of the world as we know it. Do we live our lives as if the end of all things is near? What difference would it make if we lived believing that Jesus was going to return tomorrow? How would this influence the way that we make use of the gifts he gives us? When God calls us to do something, gives us the gifts, talents, skills, and influence to do it, and we follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he can do amazing things that we could never do on our own. He empowers us to do more than we could imagine. There is no question that God has given you skills, talents, gifts, influences, strengths, characteristics, abilities, contacts that no one else has. God is so amazing that he gives everyone a unique set of gifts. When we allow the Holy Spirit to control the use of all parts of ourselves, he does amazing things. What does it mean to allow the Holy Spirit to use us? All our beings need to be sacrificed to the control of God. And this includes everything, including our speech. Peter reminds us, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Whatever we say should be guided by the Holy Spirit, and even how we say something should be influenced by God. Words are powerful tools that can be used for good, to build up and encourage, or for bad, to tear down and criticize. How do we speak? To each other within the fellowship of the church? Do we demonstrate that love that we are called to when Peter instructs us to love one another deeply? Do our words to each other and the manner in which we talk to each other communicate love and acceptance? And when we communicate with others that we meet, how would we demonstrate the love that God has poured out? How do we speak the words of God to those who do not know him? We are called not just to love those in the church, but those outside it, to love our family and friends, neighbours, acquaintances, and even our enemies. How are we communicating with others around us? Our words are not the only way to communicate the love of God. God calls us to serve. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Notice that Peter doesn't set down how we are to serve, what specifically we should do, but instead recognises that God chooses to work through different people in different ways. Maybe your gift is in hospitality and you are great at making people feel welcome wherever you are. Or maybe you are skilled in working with your hands and can help people with practical tasks. God works through you in ways that is specific to your abilities and characteristics and passions and desires. How might God be calling you to serve? I think it's important that Peter made mention of both words and actions, because with one without the other is meaningless. If we only ever speak good, nice things, but never do anything to back up our words, then people will see us as insincere, as people who never follow through with anything. The phrase, so heavenly minded that they are of no earthly use, comes to mind. But equally, if we only ever do good action and never speak the words of God, we are just people who do nice things, and others will never know what motivates us to show the love that we have. We're never able to share God with others and introduce them to the best thing that would ever happen to them, being united with God. It's important to note that when we are talking about using our gifts to serve others, our motivations for this should be pure. Peter tells his readers, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Our words and actions need to be motivated by love. Jesus summed up the commandments in these two commands: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. There is no commandment greater than these. Love is the most important thing that brings us to serve others with words and deeds. Love for others and love for God. This love needs to be externally expressed and inwardly experienced. Sometimes we might find ourselves serving others out of a sense of duty or responsibility, or sometimes even to look good in front of others. But we are reminded that we should be motivated by love, not just on the surface, but within as well. Peter offers an example of this. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It's probable that Peter knew of a situation amongst his readers in which someone was grudgingly showing hospitality but was making it known that he didn't really want to be serving by grumbling. I wonder if any of you can relate to this kind of thing. I know I certainly can. There have definitely been times when I have served someone and outwardly expressed a polite, positive facade, but inwardly I've been grumbling to myself and feeling grumpy about having to serve in that way. As we enter this new week and begin the month of February, how are you feeling inspired, encouraged, and empowered to use the gifts God has given you for his glory and to demonstrate the wonders of his kingdom to those who do not know God? Recognize that God has gifted you uniquely with the skills, experiences, and gifts that make you, you. Seek God's guidance and his strength in using his gifts. Allow him to teach you about the gifts he has given you. And allow the Holy Spirit to use your gifts Let him guide your speech and your action as you live your life this week. And above all, be motivated by love. Allow the love of God to fill you up so that it overflows. Love God and love others. To God be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen.